Good evening, everybody. I'm Robert Schuller, and I want to welcome you to the call. And we're actually changing the name and moving in the direction. And so we're looking at the call and vital living. And this is all part of our Robert Schuller Ministries, which we have been developing for a long time. So we are a church with no walls. And on this podcast, we read the Bible, we pray, we talk about the impact of our faith has on our lives and on the lives of others. And we often interview inspiring guests, and today is no exception. And we will be introducing you to our special guest very soon. So we are here to give you inspiration, encouragement, and hope. So share this podcast if you know someone that can help.
Good evening. This is Donna Schuller. Thanks again for joining Robert and I on this Vital Living, The Call. You know, our goal here is to help you learn more about yourself, learn more about others, and in turn, you'll learn more about God. If you're on the phone right now, or you might be listening to this at some other date because it's recorded, if you'd rather see us live right now, you can go to Robert Schuller Ministries Facebook page, or you can listen in if you're on the Facebook page by dialing 641-715-3865, and then the code you'll need is 642-848 and the pound sign. That's a lot of numbers, so unless you're writing, just stay with us here and you can listen to it later. We always post it. You can go to iTunes, and please do go to iTunes and subscribe to Robert Schuller Ministries podcast. Also, go to our YouTube channel, Robert Schuller Ministries. The good news is it's all the same name, Robert Schuller Ministries YouTube channel, and subscribe because we're coming out with all kinds of actually daily devotions. We'll be talking a little bit later about that when I give you the update on our ministry. But, you know, we also want to remind you we love your questions. We have a great guest tonight. So remember, if something comes up for you, write it down, and we'll either try to look at it here on Facebook and answer you. If we can't do it, we'll do it later after because those Facebook questions stay on there for a long time, forever and ever, actually. Or you can, if you're on the telephone, then just key in star and six to be able to answer, to ask a question, and we'll get you on our telephone here if you're on the telephone line. Okay? So, and remember, you can write us questions later at robert@schullerministries.org or me, donna@schullerministries.org.
So this is a church service in many ways. It's a podcast. It's an opportunity for us to be able to worship God. And so we pray, and we're going to read some scripture. And I'm going to start right now by offering a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where we can come together around the world and feel your presence. And so, Lord, as we face challenges in life, as we face the difficulties that come our way, as we overcome the struggles, we pray that you will give us the wisdom, the insight, the strength, the stamina, the resilience to live for you and to live with integrity and honesty, being the people that you've called us to be. And so as we travel through life, Lord, we thank you and praise your name for every obstacle that comes our way because we know that that as we live for you and live with you, that you turn our mountains into opportunities and that the struggles we face are new opportunities. And so we thank you, Lord, and we praise your name for everything and always. Amen.
Amen.
So that's our prayer this evening, and I've got a scripture reading. I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter. There's a 1 and 2 Peter in your New Testament. These are letters from the Apostle Peter, and this one is addressed to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, basically all over the world, the known world at that time. Grace and peace be yours in abundance, he says. And now we get to the meat of his letter. And I begin reading with verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance. That's pretty good news. Into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul.
Nice.
And there is our scripture reading for this evening.
I like that one. I haven't read that in a long time.
No, I don't read that one very often. And I know I think that's the first time I've read it here. Well, Don and I just got back from Uganda. We were there last week. And so we've been home almost a week now, and we're finally getting back to normal.
Time.
Well, there's a time change of 10 hours.
Yeah.
In order to get to Uganda, we have 22 hours of air time.
Yes, yeah. Not including the layovers.
Yeah, then you have the layovers.
Oh, my God.
So it was a very difficult experience as far as getting there. But once we were there, we had just a tremendous experience. The way I like to describe Africa is a continent of extremes,
mm-hmm.
and everything there is extreme, and the faith that the people have is extreme. So I spoke in a church. Now, in this church, they started a revival 9 seasons ago. When I'm talking about seasons, I'm talking about winter, spring, summer, fall, another winter, spring, summer, fall, and they are now in season number 9. So that's over 2 years. And what they do is they started worshiping, and they have been worshiping nonstop now for 9 seasons, 24 hours a day. So they asked me to come and preach, and I did, and I didn't know what to expect. I mean, here it is, 11 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock in the evening. They've been going on forever, literally for a year and a quarter now. They're in their 9th season, 2 years and a quarter. And there were about 5,000 people there at 11 o'clock at night on a Thursday evening. Extremes. When I say extremes, I mean extremes. And the spirit was alive and well. And it was one of the most amazing experiences of my life to be able to share and to see what the Holy Spirit is doing in the Southern Hemisphere. The Holy Spirit is alive and well in Africa. And he's making tremendous progress in the lives and hearts of people. And people are turning their lives around, and they're experiencing healing and hope and goodness. And they're practicing their faith in ways we couldn't possibly imagine. So that alone was worth the extreme. When I say Africa is a place of extremes, not only is it a place of extremes, but it takes extreme energy to get there.
Exactly.
And so the extreme energy that it took for us to get there was well worth it if it was just for that. In addition to that, I met with the president of Uganda, His Excellency Museveni. I met him first in his White House, which would be equivalent to the U.S. White House. It's a big, beautiful mansion up on top of a hill overlooking Lake Victoria, which happens to be the largest lake, second largest lake in the world, second only to Lake Superior. So it is an enormous lake. So his mansion overlooks the lake. And then the following day, I had the privilege of giving him and handing him a peace award for his efforts, which he has made towards creating peace, not only in Uganda, but throughout the region. So he has been recognized for his efforts in peace. He is a dictator, and that there is a dictatorship. It's not a free society. I'm not sure that the elections would be ones that we would give 100% approval to, but he has turned that nation around. Uganda was known as the epicenter for the AIDS epidemic of the 80s, and today they have turned it around. They have completely turned it around thanks to their three-pronged approach. The three-pronged approach they call the 80 C's. Abstinence is number one. Be faithful is number two. And thirdly, if you're not going to follow steps one and two, then by all means use step C, which is a condom. And as a result of that, they have completely got AIDS under control, and it's not an issue in Uganda anymore because of their ABC approach. Abstinence, be faithful, and condom. So that has changed the continent the country dramatically. So anyway, Don and I had a fabulous experience there, and it was one of the highlights of our life. And I know for myself, well, I haven't discussed this with Donna, but I have Africa fever.
Yeah, me too. No, I do. Absolutely.
You want to explain what Africa fever is?
It was so, like you said, a land of extremes. And I've been to seven countries in Africa now, and Robert's been to eight. And there's a lot of countries in Africa. Look at the African continent. You'll see where Uganda is. It's one of the smaller countries, and it's considered to be in Eastern Africa, although I don't quite understand that it's in East. Well, I guess it is East if you go that way. It kind of almost looks like it's in mid-Africa, but on the East Coast. So, the rainstorms are extreme. The bugs are extreme, although we never saw a single mosquito, I think, when we were at Mignogno at the Global Peace Conference. But there were no bugs when we went. We went up into the mountains, into the jungles, and I didn't see any mosquitoes, which is, thank God, because they love me. But it's a land of extremes. I mean, the people are extremely happy. They're extremely blessed. The soil is extremely fertile. The coffee is extremely strong. The tea is strong. Everything I love. Strong wow. Coffee and strong tea. And the people, like Robert said, are just filled with the Holy Spirit. Literally, like, it's so refreshing to, as a Christian, to travel somewhere where not one or two trucks, every single commercial truck you pass by has huge signs on it, like, God saves, or find your freedom in Jesus. I mean,
it's
over
amazing.
And over, and our driver and everybody he introduced
everybody
us
we
to,
met.
Just, thank you, Lord, praise God, and we'd say, oh, are you a Christian? They look at us like, of course we are. And people just on the street, the people that were helping us, asking us to pray for them, I'm thinking, wow, I wonder if this is how the United States used to be, where people were proud to show that they trusted in a higher power, that they believed that God could provide miracles and could save their family. And I believe that's why the country is growing and prospering as much as it is. And, of course, it's a land full of natural resources. I mean, you name it, they have it. And like I already said, the soil is just this rich orange soil that's like the soil in the Midwest here in the United States, so in other countries. But
poverty still reigns in Africa, and we drove through tons and tons of poverty. But one of the interesting things about it is everybody seems really happy.
They are.
They have poverty, but they don't need the riches. They live off the land. and they don't need the money. They make their own clothing. They make everything that
they provide
need.
Most of their own food.
And they're happy.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Anyway, that's what's important in life. It's not a matter of having the money. It's a matter of having the lifestyle and the happiness. So you have some updates for us.
Well, not yet. I was going to have you read that, or do you want to change the order around? What do you
want to do? I'd be happy to do that.
Because
we're
going to
do that,
and I think I might get right into the interviewing our guest.
Oh, can then do our update later?
Yeah, so why don't you read this? Robert has
absolutely
a little fact sheet.
Our guest today, we're going to be talking about opioids, the opioid epidemic in America, because it's literally at epidemic proportions. And I have a list of facts here that I wish to share with you. It is the number one cause of disability worldwide. The number one cause of worldwide disability is spinal pain. And the annual cost of pain is $600 billion. That's more than heart disease and cancer combined. Heart disease is $309 billion. Cancer is $243 billion.
Just to manage the pain.
Just to manage the pain. $600 billion for the cost of handling the pain due to spinal injuries. One of three Americans takes an opioid drug. 1.9 million Americans are addicted to opioid drugs. 175 people die per day from opioids. 175. How many people fit on a 737?
Less than that.
So can you imagine a 737 filled with people crashing every day?
And killing
everybody on board. And yet this is what's happening with our opioids every single day. 63.4% of opioid users start because of physical pain. A baby is born every 25 minutes addicted to opioid drugs. That means that while we're talking tonight on Facebook Live, two babies are going to be born who are addicted to opioid drugs. It costs $1.5 billion a year to rehab these babies. That's $50,000 per baby. Life expectancy has declined 3 years in a row for the first time in 100 years. The CDC attributes the drop in life expectancy, and that's 2016, 17, and 18, to opioid use.
And it hasn't been that low since the great flu pandemic of 1916.
So those are the facts. So we need to talk about the opioid crisis. We need to keep that in the forefront of our mind, and we need to realize that if you take opioid drugs for pain, which sometimes you need to, a friend of ours just had his knee replaced, the pain is excruciating, and he's taking opioid drugs, and he is concerned about that. He should be. And by the grace of God, I believe he won't become addicted to those drugs.
Well, I think that's a good segue into our guest. So I was sent this book, Robert and I were sent this book a couple of months ago, and I started reading it and I couldn't put it down. And this is the woman that we'll be interviewing today. I know this will show, I think, backwards. But it's called The Weight of a Feather, A Mother's Journey Through the Opioid Addiction Crisis. And our guest tonight, let me just tell you a little bit about her, and then I'll introduce her, and we'll start right in with asking her questions, because that's what this is about. This is about learning more through other people. You know, we all have stories. We all have hardships. We all have joys, and it's about sharing. That's what life is about, and it's also about interviewing resilient people and talking to people about how do they get through these things. You know, we all go through really tough times. We've had tough times with our four kids off and on through the years, and now we've got grandkids. And, you know, it just never ends. We've got friends and family that we have challenges throughout life. That's what life's about. And it's not about covering it up and stigmatizing things. It's about opening ourselves up and sharing. And this next guest, let me just tell you a little bit about her. Linda Hacker Arouse provides a chilling view of life with a family member struggling with an addiction. With unabashed honesty, she shares her story of frustration and anguish as she faces the treachery of addiction, the unraveling of her family, and the roadblocks on the way to recovery. Multiply this story more than a million times, and you will come away with a better understanding of the crisis that Robert already talked about, the one that's impacting so many families today. I'm sure if you stop and think, you must know somebody that's been affected by this. I just want to stop and say about 5 years ago when this first came to the forefront of people's minds, we knew of six families, parents and or grandparents, who had lost a child because of this opioid crisis. Lost meaning they died. Like it was within a year and a half, 5 years ago, we knew six families, and it's just tragic.
And we've known more since then.
And more since then, exactly. It's just, I just remember in that tight span of a year and a half, losing all those people. It was like, what? And that's when we started paying attention.
That's
to
when we paid attention, absolutely. And we've been talking about this ever since.
Exactly. So in this book, The Weight of a Feather, you'll find sadness, you'll find humor. Most importantly, you'll find hope, not only for struggling families and those who are addicted, but also for a nation that is desperately searching for solutions to the opioid crisis. Now, I know we have our guests on the line here. Are you there, Linda?
Hello.
Linda? Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Hi. Thank you so much for inviting me.
We're thrilled to have you here. And, you know, anything we can do to help and anything we can do to bring more awareness to the problem of addiction.
Absolutely.
Because it is epidemic, not just opioids, but alcohol and many other drugs, as you know.
Oh, absolutely.
So first of all, before I have a couple questions to ask you, but I want to know a little bit more about you. I know something from reading your book, but share with people why, you know, what your background is, what you know about, and how many young people you've actually counseled, and then why you decided to write this book.
Okay, well, let me start with the fact that I was in education. I actually at one time ran a program for drug use prevention. And so that's kind of my background. I've lived in South America for 15 years. I've lived most of the rest of the time in New York. I've always worked either in high school or colleges with young people. So I've always had a heart for them. I also have a master's degree in social work and have worked with families and adolescents over the years. So you would think that background would have given me some kind of an advantage in dealing with the situation that I was confronted with when one day my son said, "Oh, Mom, there's something I need to tell you." And the last thing I expected is what he said next: "Mom, I'm a heroin addict." You know,
wow.
My life exploded.
Yeah.
And I was so naive at the time that I thought that, okay, all right, this is pretty heavy news, but we can fix this. Now that I know, we'll make a few phone calls and we'll get this resolved. And that was just about the so far from what we lived through that you couldn't possibly imagine it. So part of what I think most families go through, and there's millions of us, is that you have the situation in your own home, you know, with your other children and the chaos that's involved with addiction, and then you have to confront what's going on with the treatment system, which did not really rise up to meet the needs of this epidemic as quickly as they needed to. So that's kind of my background and how I started it. And the reason I wrote the book, and I think most people would say, my gosh, you know, if your child reaches recovery, why don't you just shut the door and move on? But I couldn't do that because it just seemed so wrong to just move on and not look backward, knowing that there were millions of other people who were walking the same path that I walked, and not reach out to them and try to provide some kind of companionship or hope, because hope is the thing that you need to hold on to as you go through, and for most of it, it's years before you really reach the point where your son or daughter, you know, is in recovery.
Well, tell us about the title, The Weight of a Feather, and there's a picture of the feather. I'm showing this again, and again, for those of you that see this on the screen, it's backwards, I know, but you can figure that out. That's how, it's a pretty cover, beautiful feather, and it's The Weight of a Feather. What does the title mean to you?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because the title of this book came to me before I ever put a word on paper. It always had this title, and actually, it relates to Psalm 91:4, which says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. And that really has a lot to do with the theme that goes through the book, because in one sense, of course, it's ironic. A feather has no weight. But if you look at metaphorically or symbolically, trying to protect a child who's going through and struggling with an addiction is incredibly heavy. And on the other hand, you know, it was God who stood with us all along the way, and I certainly want to recognize that. And although there were moments where you know, we said, oh, please, we can't go on, we can't endure any more of this, you know, I can look back and see all kinds of incidents where we were being encouraged at a time that was very trying for us.
Well, so in other words, your faith really did help you. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I wonder how people without faith can even begin to get through something like this. I it's got to be that much more difficult, no doubt. And I want to talk to you about, I want to ask you about the song too, Stand By Me, that kept coming up over and over. What did that song do for you? What did it mean for you? How did that, you know, talk about like early on in the court, whatever you want to share, however much you feel like you
want
to share about.
That comes up at first in the first chapter, and it exactly happened that way after my son was driving intoxicated and had an accident and hit someone, and you know, my husband woke me up after a few hours sleep, and we arrived in court, and suddenly on the way home I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be so much heavier than I ever imagined. And that song started playing in my head, and it truly became kind of a theme song as we went through the years of saying, you know, I can endure this. You know, I'll stand by my son if God stands with me, which, of course, he did. And, you know,
so
my strength came from that relationship.
So you talk about years. How many years has it been?
Oh, he's been in recovery now for 3 or 4 years, but the time he was actively using was probably about 6 years.
Yeah, long time.
So we're talking almost 10 years.
Right.
And you mentioned just a little bit right after we introduced you that what it does to the family. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? I think by sharing, you know, sharing a little bit about your strength and hope, you can strengthen others and give them hope. And also, people feel like they're not alone. If you know, in going through, like you said, it affects the siblings horribly. And I'm sure it affects your marriage and your time at work. It affects your finances. Can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. You know, and you are absolutely right. It affects every facet of your life. One thing that my husband and I decided early on, or when we realized this was not going to get solved within a week, was whatever happens, we absolutely need to stick together. And we would pray every day about it. And truthfully, when decisions came up, and there's all kinds of decisions that go on because incidents, episodes occur all the time, that we would always, you know, talk to each other and stand with each other. That I know this is not true of many couples, and certainly I know of families where it's reached the point where parents have split up, couples have split up over it. Because it's very intense, and sometimes you reach a moment where you can't really shoulder someone else's pain because your own pain is so intense. But that doesn't mean that you're not sticking together with it. So I think that was an important thing. And I felt so bad about my younger son who had to witness all of this and family arguments and that sort of thing. And for a time, he moved in with another Christian family, and although, you know, it hurt me terribly for that to happen, on the other hand, I understood that that was right for him because he needed to be in a healthier place than we could give him during those months. So in that sense, our family did unravel, although, you know, I want to say also families, you know, heal. Relationships can be rebuilt and all of that. It's
absolutely,
not,
always.
You know, it's not the call of doom, but it does.
So
it's a terrible strain on the family. Terrible.
So, how do you make your decision? So, you know, most of us know about tough love, where you just say, "Hey, you're out of here," and then there's also the school of thought where, no, you have to do whatever you can. This is your child. You have to save them. How did you navigate that rough road of deciding when to be there for him and when to just say, "Hey, we're washing our hands now. We don't know anything else to do for you," you know? And I realized there were a couple different treatments that he had through the 6 years, and you know, the addiction is very, very strong. How did you find your balance? What was your balance there?
Well, here's the thing that's so difficult is there's no formula. And I think, you know, all of the parents who are in the situation that we were in followed a certain formula. You know, we talked to our kids about it. We, you know, we sent them to programs. We thought we did what we needed to do so that this would never be a situation in our lives. And certainly my other son had no relationship with drugs whatsoever. And I think this is common, that sometimes there's only one in a family of four, and you wonder, how did this happen? And, of course, there's a biological basis to it all. But, I reached the point where I realized that there are certain guidelines that you have in life, but when it comes to really important decisions, you really have to look for God's guidance. That it's not it's not something you can read in a book and follow and say, you know, find a guarantee at the end, this is going to work, because every situation is different, every child is different, every relationship is different. God has a view of the whole situation that goes beyond what we can see. And therefore, I think that reliance on God and guidance is essential, truly.
Exactly. Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on is because, and you have a chapter in your book, and I highly encourage people listening to this, whether you're listening to the podcast later, whether you're on this conference call or on Facebook Live, get this book, The Weight of a Feather, by Linda Hacker Arouse. I'm sorry, I always hesitate because I asked you how to...
I know, but you do so well with it. I'm very impressed.
Okay. Well, you gave me a helpful hint when we talked yesterday, but... you know, we want to do away with this, the enigma of stigma, as you call it in one of your chapters.
What a great chapter.
It is a great chapter on page 93, because that's one of the problems. If there's a stigma involved in something, then we tend to shy away from it. And you know what? This is hurting families everywhere, whereas If your child has diabetes or schizophrenia or cancer or, you know, is laying in the hospital with all kinds of broken limbs, somehow people will reach out to you and they will take care of you and they will talk about it. But all of a sudden, if you have a child that's addicted, it's like something is wrong with you. I mean, I'm not saying that something is wrong with you, but you know what I'm saying. I understand.
No, absolutely.
Stigma.
Absolutely.
And we have to talk more about this. We have to have more honest discussions like this, because I truly believe that when you take something and you bury it, it gets so much more powerful. But if you talk about it, if you hand it over to God, somehow by admitting it and by throwing it out there and by just saying, hey, this problem exists, it's a great paradox in life. But by admitting you're powerless, you get more power back. And so I just thank you so much for this. I'd like to open this to a couple questions. I'm going to turn on the Q&A here and see if we can get anything. If there's anybody out there that's on the call, you can click *6 and ask a question of Linda or of Robert and I, or if you'd like to write a question, we're actually close enough now to the screen. We got smart, smart in our old age. We can actually read a question up there if you'd like to type it in on Facebook. Or if you're listening on the podcast at a later date, you can email us, Donna@SchulerMinistries.org or Robert@SchulerMinistries.org, and we'll make sure. I've got Linda's email and her phone number, and at a later time, it doesn't matter when you hear this recording, we will get your question answered. So we have shy people out there, Linda. It's very uncommon. It's very common for people not to ask questions. So far, no questions. I'm going to go ahead and give the ministry update while we wait for questions. So most of you know that we've changed the name of The Call, which we've had for almost 6 years, to Vital Living / The Call. We're still calling it The Call with Vital Living in there, too, because we have daily devotionals now called Vital Living, which are available on our YouTube channel, Robert Schuller Ministries or Robert Schuller Ministries Podcast. They'll be in video form, they'll be in audio form, and they're only a minute and a half long, most of them. I think the longest one is a minute 40 so far, and they're really great. These little videos are very powerful, a great way to start your day. Our new website has been launched, drschuler.org. Please go on there and join our, just click on the Grow and Connect and join our community app. We have an online prayer ministry now, and it's been so amazing. We have people praying for us every day when we were in Uganda. We have friends that write to us on this prayer app. We check it every morning, and we pray for people every morning. So know that we will get to you if you're there. And it's a phone app, so you download it on your smartphone. So please go on drschuler.org and connect with us today. We have all this exciting stuff happening. So finally, after 9 years, we have one roof, so to speak, drschuler.org, which has like my nutrition ministry, our helpline for drugs and alcohol, Schuler Help, which we've had now for 3 years, our Sunday morning Facebook services, which are going to get better and better. You just wait. We've got some tricks up our sleeve, so they're going to get better and better. And like I said, daily Vital Living inspirational videos are 1 to 2 minutes long. They're all available on YouTube. But you need to go to our website and subscribe. Gosh, and please share this program. There's so many people that need this. Repost this after it's on our Facebook. Share it with as many people as you think could use it. Robert's already talked about Uganda. Does anybody have any questions? Nobody have any questions. How about on Facebook? Anybody want to type anything in? Nothing tonight. So, Linda, we're going to thank you for joining us, and we're going to continue to pray for you and your family. And thank you, thank you, thank you for being a courageous mother and writing this book, The Weight of a Feather.
Let's pray.
Oh, thank you so much. It's just been a pleasure talking with you, and I really admire the stand that you're taking in helping people through this whole situation. It's wonderful.
Let's pray a minute. Dear God, we just thank you for Linda and her testimony and sharing with us the challenges that she has gone through. And so we pray for her family, that you'll bring healing where they need it the most. We pray for families all across America, all 109 million Americans who are addicted to opioid drugs. We pray that they will find deliverance, that they will get out of that bondage, and that they will find the freedom and the joy that comes when they experience they experience this new freedom. And so we know that you are reaching out to your children as we speak, that you are bringing healing and hope into their lives. And so we claim this in the name of Jesus, that they will be healed. And so we love you, Lord, and we praise your name. Amen.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Thank you, Linda, for being
here. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
So as we come to our close of this time tonight, I just want to let you know that we do collect an offering, for we believe that where two or three are gathered together, it's important to collect an offering. And the way we do this is actually through obviously, we can't pass an offering plate through Facebook, nor can we do it through the telephone. So there's several different ways. You can go to our drschuler.org website, and there's a donate opportunity there. On this Facebook page that you're listening to, if you're listening to on Facebook, we have a donate page there. There is no gift that is too small, and no gift that's too big, because I guarantee that we have the means to be able to use whatever donations we receive to enhance the kingdom of God and to share the good news of his love and grace. So if you wish to make a traditional contribution through a check, you need to write to us at Robert Shuler Ministries, 2128 Bay Point Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. That's 2128 Bay Point Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. If you wish to email or write to us, we take prayer requests through pray.com. We take prayer requests through email, and our email addresses are Robert@SchulerMinistries.org
or Donna@SchulerMinistries.org.
Pretty simple.
And by the way, we answer all of our own prayers. We don't have a staff that does this. It's him and I. So if you want us to pray for you, we pray for you. If you send us an email, one of us will write you back, not somebody else, not a computer. It'll be us.
So make sure you join us next week if it's the 15th
next
of
month.
Next month. I said next week. Holy heckle. Next month, if it's the 15th of the month at 6 p.m. Pacific time, you know it's time that we're going to be here on Facebook. And so join us on Facebook or join us on the call, either one, at 6 p.m. Pacific every 15th for Vital Living.
And sign up on iTunes under Robert Shuler Ministries. And also please subscribe to our YouTube channel. You will not be sorry. Robert Shuler Ministries. We have daily 1.5-minute devotions, and they're really good. I'm just saying,
so,
they're really good.
So if you're not familiar with it, just go to YouTube in the search box, put Robert Shuler Ministries, and up it'll come, and then you can join it. It's that simple.
Exactly. So we always pray together. We discuss great subjects, and always through the eyes of Jesus. So we thank you for listening tonight for the call of Vital Living. And this will be posted a couple hours from now on our podcast, and also it'll be on Facebook page right away. And if you'd like to copy and paste it, please do so.
So until next time, this has been Vital Living, the call with Robert Shuler and Donna Shuler.
Yep.
God is blessing you.
Through all things, always.
Always and forever.
Yep.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.